soccer matters.
Quick shot, score! The US with Dempsey!
To Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro, remate en el gol!
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Thank you for joining me here tonight. ESPN 97.5, the home of Soccer Matters. Also, the presenting sponsor of this show, keeping us on the air, is John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW, 713-CALL-NOW. Streaming tonight at ESPN975.com. That's where you can get the podcast of this show always. And also, you can get it on Google, Spotify, Apple Podcast platforms as well. Glenn Davis, your loyal servant here. Wow, what a big night it was Saturday at Energy Park. Tigres in front of 46,000 fans get a 2-1 win over Inter Miami. By the way, this was all Tigres fans. The casual fan that went there to simply see Leo Messi, most of them did not show. I did see a few purple Dynamo jerseys, but this was all yellow and gold. This was Tigres country. Pretty remarkable. The orchestration of what their fans do at games as well. This was really uplifting and a really fun thing to be a part of, because it's not a typical friendly, even if it's a Real Madrid or a Barcelona or a Manchester United. This was a competitive game. Inter Miami, one of the top teams in Major League Soccer. Tigres, a lot of respect there, back and forth. Tata Martino, the head coach, despite Messi not playing, despite Suarez not playing. There was a real air of authenticity in that building. There was a real air of desire to win and competition. And a lot of that came from the fan base as well. And that's what was really cool. They call them Libres y Locos. We've talked about it on the show. They had all their banners showing their different chapters from different cities around Texas and the United States. But, boy, do they have a following. And they kind of set the tone and take the lead, and the fans respond. So they may say something, and then 46,000 people will shout back. So it was remarkable. Big thank you to people that came up and chatted, not only from Tigres, but general soccer fans, and acknowledged Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. That was a lot of fun. I walked the concourse to take it all in. Big, big night out at Energy Park, and everybody with Lone Star Sports and Entertainment who were involved in executing everything made it really, really good out there, and did throughout the whole Copa America as well. Okay, so Tigres now, the win propels them to the round of 32. They're going to head up to Austin. They take on Pachuca Thursday night. My instincts are telling me I'm going to head up there and check that out. Tigres winning their group, and Pachuca coming in second in there, sets up an All-Mexico round of 32 match. And that's the only one so far. There may be more after tonight, as there's still first round and group games to be played, including the Dynamo and RSL. We'll talk about them heavy tonight in the final segment of this. Actually, we'll give you a preview in that final segment tonight of Dynamo RSL. By the way, Real Salt Lake has two guys in combination that have scored 30 goals together. Think about that. The Dynamo may not have a 10-goal scorer this year. Hope so. But they've already got a combination of two players that have 17 and 13. I'll save it for the final segment of the show tonight. Coming up in segment two, La U Times, Arnaldo Lozano. He was on last week. He was very, very good, very in tune with Tigres. He joins me. We're going to discuss the ins and out of Tigres and Inter Miami, that match. We'll also talk a little bit about the remarkable fan base of Tigres a little bit deeper, which was on full display. Like I said, you felt football in this building, and you felt Libres y Locos. You felt the fan base of 46,000. By the way, a lot of them wore the throwback jerseys, which were, you know, it was a jersey that was during some of the tough times, the times where fans suffered, you know, with Carta Blanca on the front. Check out some of the videos I posted, by the way, on Twitter and Instagram, at Glenn Davis Sox. Such a great night. I put up one video. It's incredible. It has like 110,000 views already and 300-plus reposts. It's crazy, the presence of Tigres on social media. Interesting. Great night, though. Juan Brunetta scoring a remarkable goal off three flicked-on headers prior. Three headers prior. Angulo, Brunetta, then to Nico. Nico flicks it back to him on a give and go, and then he hits a volley, which, you know, I guess we call that a worldie or a golazo now. I guess it was all of those things because it was a fantastic goal. It brought everybody out of their seat. Now, if you examine Veljko Panovic, the Tigres coach right now, who I recently had on this show, they are off to a great start with a new manager. Not easy coming into that club, replacing Robert Siboldi. Implementing a new system. When you're implementing a new system, it's nice to get results because that helps sell it to your players. That's what he's getting right now. They're undefeated in four rounds of Liga MX, and they're now undefeated in two here. They win their group by getting a 2-1 win over Puebla and getting a 2-1 win over Inter Miami. But changing a system is not an easy thing. Also, coming in to work with a legendary figure at the club, André-Pierre Gignac, right? Who's led him to titles. Who's a huge figure. You come in as the newbie, you have to have a good relationship with that man. So that's one to keep an eye on here. But Panovic has done a great job so far, off to a great start, changing a system, and they still have a high ceiling if you're a Tigres fan. So that's good. Depth seems to be playing out as well. We'll talk about that. But Tigres Week, they called it. They had their female team here. They had their genuine World Cup team here. And then the big men's team played two matches, one in Shell and one at Energy. So big, big week for Tigres, who have definitely set their sights on the Houston market and the English language market. Spain came back in the Olympics. In the semifinals against Morocco, 2-1, two second-half goals. Sofiane Rahimi put Morocco up 1-0 at halftime. It was a penalty kick. Six straight games he scored in the Olympics. I think that set a record for Rahimi. So Morocco came off that great World Cup. They have another good high-end competition result, even though they don't win this one. Spain coming back, they're going to go to another final. I think it's their fifth final. But Morocco's football is growing. There's something to be studied there, and there is a lot of character in those teams. 65th minute, Spain tie it up. Fermín López, and then Juan Luis Sánchez off the bench for the game winner in the 85th. And by the way, so they're in the gold medal game, Spain. The women are also in the semifinals. They're going to take on Brazil. Marta will not be back for Brazil after a reckless challenge that gave her a two-game suspension. The U.S. women, boy, that was a tough one that they had to knock out over Japan. Very, very tough. And you can see these players are fatigued. I would just say this. The Olympics is way off, sadly, when it comes to taking care of the athletes on the side of soccer. Way, way off. 18-player rosters. Teams are playing four games in 9 days. So you're basically turning the Olympic soccer tournament into a battle of endurance, not football. And it's hard to believe that these things occur. And you only have a roster of 18, not 23. So pretty easy to figure out that it's a battle of endurance, playing four games in 9 days. Tournament, again, not set up for football. And in the case of the U.S., Emma Hayes has not really rotated the roster much in this tournament. This is tough. It's really a focus on survival and endurance. It's really what it is. I don't think there's any other way to look at it. Now, the U.S. beat the Germans 4-1 in group play, but I think this is going to be closer. simply because of what we just talked about. Tim Ream to Charlotte FC. U.S. reportedly interested in hiring Hoffenheim boss Pellegrino Matarazzo. He was born and raised in New Jersey, and multiple outlets, including Kicker and Bild, which are respected in Germany, have been talking about the point that this former Stuttgart manager could be a part of the men's national team setup as the head coach. So this could be something very interesting. He's currently at Hoffenheim. He led Hoffenheim to seventh in the Bundesliga. All right, we're going to take it to break here. Big reminder, Little Patagonia Empanadas and Cafe, big thank you to them. You got a Houston location. You got an Austin location. I will hit the Austin location at Q2 Stadium. Chicken, beef, it's all in there. Lamb, piping hot empanadas. They melt in your mouth. They're not doughy. They're just the perfect blend of what's inside the beautiful flaky crust of these empanadas from Argentina. My friend Sebastian Abraham. Again, Houston location right near our studios here off Westheimer. And then in Austin, you have it at Q2 Stadium and also at Guadalupe Street right near the UT campus. All right, we'll head to break. We head to break with the fantastic goal that Trinity Rodman scored for the U.S. women's national team in their 1-0 victory over Japan.
Dunn looking for Rodman again. Rodman and Trinity Rodman. Amidst a morass of muddling mediocrity and frustration, a special moment. 22-year-old Trinity Rodman, take a bow.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. As always, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, been getting soccer on the airwaves forever here in Houston. Big, big thank you to him. And John has been a prime supporter and the Daspit Law Firm of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Well, as everybody knows, well, it was a huge, huge, huge week here in Houston when it came to Tigres of Mexico. And of course, Tigres winning both of their matches here, knocking off Puebla and then knocking off Inter Miami 2-1 this game this past Saturday. They win their group. Next up for them is Pachuca in Austin, Texas on Thursday. Joining us now for a second consecutive week, Arnaldo Lozano. He is with La U Times, and Arnaldo joins us now. Arnaldo, have you come down from the high yet of the great night out at Energy Stadium?
Glenn, thank you for having me once again. I really appreciate it. It's an honor, like I mentioned, to be here on the show with you. It's been a great week. You know, this week was a successful week in general for the club. A lot of initiatives that the team had and presence here in the city of Houston, not only, you know, from the soccer aspect and, you know, on the pitch, but just in general, a lot of brand awareness, a lot of brand, you know, introduction to a lot of people that maybe weren't familiar with the brand by hosting different events throughout the city. And then just the game that we had at NRG Stadium was incredible. Like you mentioned, great atmosphere, great vibes from the fan base, great response after, you know, a not so filled up stadium at Shell Energy on Wednesday against Puebla. But the game, you know, that everybody was looking forward to beforehand when, you know, Leo Messi was supposed to be available for his injury. A lot of tickets were sold, and then even some were bought after, but we had a great presence, over 45,000 people there at the stadium.
Entertaining match. Look, Inter-Miami, despite the fact that Leo Messi didn't play, Luis Suarez didn't play, Inter-Miami came into this game as one of the top teams in all of Major League Soccer. In fact, heading up number one in the Eastern Conference, really have to give some credit to Inter Miami, who played very well in this game under their manager, Tata Martino, again, without Messi and without Suarez. But there's 40,000-plus fans there. And I mean, it was really incredible, just the pride, the commitment, the colors, the orchestration of Libres y Locos, the supporters group behind the goal. I found it an energizing night for me, and I'm going to say this personally, because this was 100% authentic. This was 100% football. You can see the pride of the fan. I walked around the concourse. I talked to people. People came up. We were talking about the team, throwback jerseys. It just was a special, special night for people.
Absolutely, and that's what we want, right? In the city of Houston, with so much diversity and culture here, you know, a lot of fans representing their club, in this case, Tigres, with the, you know, dominant fan base here. I thought it was incredible. You mentioned the Libres y Locos. They had, you know, chants the entire game, supporting from the first, you know, 10 seconds of the game. They started their, you know, their traditional Lau, Lau, Lau chant, which gets the Tigres rally going, you know. And, you know, going into the game, as we went up with an amazing goal by Brunetta and then being tied up with a penalty kick, you felt the energy from the fan base, you know, push the players like it does at El Volcán every Saturday night at home. So a lot of people were really happy with what the fan base did by showing up. And a lot of it compared the atmosphere to what El Volcán, obviously on a smaller scale, because there was a lot of, you know, energy is a bigger stadium. So ultimately, you know, the size difference was not the same, but a lot of people showed up.
Yeah, I heard that a lot, though, and saw that a lot on social media. Felt like I was at El Volcán. And for those listening into my show, as Arnaldo just said, El Volcán is the nickname, the volcano, for the home stadium of Tigres, who in the future are planning on building a new stadium. We're talking to Arnaldo Lozano. By the way, you can follow him at LA_U_times, La U Times, digging in deep to Tigres of Mexico, has a huge, huge presence here in Houston, Texas, which we learned about this past weekend with this fantastic show of support out at Energy Stadium. Tigres would get a 2-1 victory in this. All right, so I want to go to the 18th minute. I want to go to Juan Brunetta's goal. We had Veljko Panovic on the show. We talked to him about a new pressing style. You might say part of this goal came from that aggressive style. Inter Miami failed to clear their lines. They get good pressure. They get the ball back. Jesus Angulo heads the ball into the box. Brunetta then flicks it on to Ibanez. Brunetta runs off him, gets it back, and hits this wonder goal of a volley. And there was a level of uniqueness to me with this goal, Arnaldo, because of the fact there were three prior headers to this in a tight space. This was something special.
A lot of technique, a lot of qualities that are the strengths of some of the players involved in that play. You talked about it, you know, and we mentioned it somewhat on your show last week with Panovic's new implementation that he's looking to implement at Tigres, with a quick reactionary press when they lose the ball. You can see that immediately. Obviously, you know, there's a little bit of things that happen with, you know, a little bit of deflections here and there, the clear off by Miami. But ultimately, Ibanez's strength is in the air, which is our headers. Beautiful ball laid off to Brunetta with excellent technique. He's, you know, the best player last season for Liga MX. Liga MX versus MLS All-Star Game, you know, MVP with an assist and a goal. So it was just a beautiful play with a great result for Tigres, where it shows a little bit of what the team wants to do under Panovic, with obviously the talent that the squad has, was able to finalize the goal.
Hey, by the way, Juan Brunetta, for listeners out there, did have a stint at Roma in Italy, a very talented Argentine player. And let's not forget, Jesus Angulo, to Veljko Panovic's point, was pushed very, very high. His initial header into the box to Brunetta got this thing going. So, again, there's an example of getting higher up the field and pressing, as opposed to a methodical buildup. So Brunetta's the star of the night. That goal becomes the match day goal of the week in the League's Cup. Speak to him a little bit more about his creativity and how attractive he is to the Tigres fan.
Yeah, so when he first arrived, a lot of people started comparing him to a former player that played at Tigres who also contributed to a championship and many success, named Lucas Lobo, somebody that was on the ball a lot and, you know, is not scared to take on players. So that's what we get with Bruneta, a player who's willing to take out a player wide, through the middle, is able to string passes and get some through balls to the attackers. So a player like him at Tigres gives us that flashy player that, you know, fans love and attract to, with also a guy that has an incredible work rate. If you saw him, he was able to cover a lot of on the pitch, and even Apple TV showed it. And at the end of the game, that he covered over 7 miles in that game against Miami.
Yeah, Apple TV loves that data where they drop down who ran the most.
Exactly. And so for him having that work rate compared to last season where we had Siboldi, where he was still getting used to the team, his intensity was not as high as it has been under Panovic this season. So we love.
Let me stop you right there. That means Panovic has pushed the right buttons now with Bruneta to get more of a work ethic out of him. So here's where you have to say, okay, coach is getting through. Granted, it's early. It's only 4 Liga MX games and 2 games here in Leagues Cup.
And the coaching staff, as you mentioned, you know, Panovic leading that. But now we have a defensive specialist that we didn't have in the past. And under his assistance, we had an offensive specialist, a set-piece specialist, and then the physical director who came from Atletico Madrid, who handles all the training, Ortega, that I mentioned to you on last week. You know, it also attributes to the type of work that he's applying to the players who are able to keep this intensity on the field and apply that high pressure like we've seen a lot over Tigres games lately.
All right, so they started out with, and how great was it? Well, let's just go to Nahuel Guzman. Not only makes the 4 key saves in the game, 38 years old, back in the lineup for Tigres. Fans love this guy. There was a moment in the game, Arnaldo, and I know what you know what I'm going to say here, where somebody from Inter Miami tries to chip him from the halfway line, takes it off his chest onto his head, juggles it a couple times, and then kind of waves at the guy like, nah, that ain't happening. What an entertainer, though. And at the end of the day, soccer is entertainment, too. You are entertainers. As much as a coach doesn't want to hear this, you are entertainers. I mean, that guy himself, just you get drawn to him.
Absolutely. And the man knows that he's the star of the show. He has the personality for it. And he knows that any chance that he gets where he can contribute to the fan base to get, like I said, behind him in the stands, he's going to do it. But ultimately, he's a guy that you can count on. He had a great save against Campana, where he had to go really low and was able to push the ball out. And that's the thing that we expect out of Nahuel Guzman, that no matter what, you know, as much as flair that he has to add to the games with, you know, moments like this, he's a magician on the field and he's able to, you know, be a secure goalkeeper under the post. And, you know, we have that confidence knowing that we have him in goal. And even against Campana, when the goal, when the PK happened, fans knew and I knew he has a chance at stopping any PK because that's his specialty. And so ultimately he's a performer and he backs it up with what he does on the pitch and able to secure, you know, under the post.
Talking to Arnaldo Lozano at @lau_times. So it's LA_U_times. Follow him. He's on top of Tigres like there's no tomorrow, and he's living large right now because Tigres only has to go over to Austin now, and he'll be at that game, and so will I. And actually, we're going to be at that game. We're going to have some little Patagonia empanadas because they are in the stadium. My good friend Sebastian and little Patagonia empanadas in Q2 Stadium. So I'll knock at least 4 of those back. Maybe even a Chota Pan as well. We're gonna go big up in Austin. Like I said, I just had so much fun at that game because it was so authentic and football. And the Tigres fan is a very educated fan. I mean, they know their players. They know the inside and outs of the game. I mean, I talk to you and you know this team inside and out. And that to me is incredibly refreshing how deep you go. That's 100% football to me.
It's inherited through family. You know, I mentioned this story to you last week about my father. He took me to the game as a 4-year-old. And since then, I fell in love with the team, the colors, the culture that the team provides at that stadium and the atmosphere. It's something that it's you can't forget it. And, you know, anywhere that the team travels to, there's a fan base presence, whether it's internationally in Canada in the past where we had CONCACAF games and Central America, Copa Libertadores, where we had an appearance in 2015. So ultimately, it's just something that you fall in love with. And as you saw this past Saturday, you know, the colors are vibrant through families. And, you know, we want to be there for the team.
Back four in front of Guzman was Angulo, Reyes, Pizarro, Aquino. You got a lot of veterans there. You got Diego Reyes, who won a gold medal with Hector Herrera at the 2012 Olympics in London. Then you had Rafael Carioca. Rafael kicked a few people in this one. Gorarian, Marcelo Flores, Brunetta, and Quinones. You got a lot of movement, mobility there, and Ibanez getting the start. Now, you talked about this team's increased depth, and I think Veljko Panovic has done a very good job of mixing and matching in these two games. You got Flores and Cordova who can flip-flop. You got Ibanez and obviously the legendary Gignac, right? So how do you feel about the depth of this team, Arnaldo?
Well, you know, it's something that it's a little bit difficult. And, you know, we talked about APG last week and, you know, how receptive he can be to either coming off the bench or going out of games early. And that was probably the thing that maybe could, you know, affect the outlook on the team as far as under Paunovic and how he managed players. But in this game, you're able to see, and in the League's Cup, the rotations and going back to, you know, Liga MX's first four games, Paunovic has moved it around in all games. He's had different versions of starting lineups. He's had different ways to encounter the games with different approaches as far as strategic aspects. So I think ultimately with that much depth and Paunovic understanding the intensity and the worker that he wants to implement, he knows he has to move his players around and he knows the different types of players that give him, whether on the wing with Marcelo Flores and Osiel Herrera coming off the bench, another guy like Cordova who has similarities to Brunetta, but obviously with a lot of different qualities as well. And so I think Paunovic gets that in order to take this team in the long run and take advantage of the veterans and keep that window open for their championship run in this League's Cups as well as in the Liga MX, he has to make sure that his players make it all the way through. And obviously keeping the player happy by giving them the starts, by, you know, giving them the times off the bench. And when he brought in Cordova, Osiel Herrera, and André Pierre Gignac, you know, in one, you know, window for substitutions, it's incredible to see that depth that can come in at one time.
Yeah, Cordova started the first game in the 2-1 win over Puebla. So it was a 69th minute. How about these three changes? Cordova for Flores. Flores was impressive. Gignac for Ibanez. And then Herrera for Quinones. So, you know, three attacking moves there.
Yeah. And like I said, all bring different qualities. Cordova is a player that is left-footed by nature, but also right-footed. He's ambidextrous. So he's able to get involved in a lot of parts of the field that Brunetta might not be able to accommodate. And he has a great relationship with André Pierre Gignac on the field. We've seen him over games in Liga MX where they have a lot of assists to each other. And then you bring in Osiel Herrera, who a guy that has played at the national team level with some caps at the senior level as well as the youth level, who has potential. It was a recent purchase from Atlas, who showed great things there. And then you bring somebody those are the three guys that came in. So ultimately, different ways to attack, but, you know, keeping that intensity up and bringing freshness to the club.
So far, so good for Veljko Panovic. We're talking to Arnaldo Lozano of La U Times. It's at @LA_U_Times. And you'll get everything Tigris and great conversation on his podcast. Brings in a lot of guys that also really know Tigris very well. Tigris is unbeaten so far in Liga MX with two wins and two draws. And they get 2-2-1 victories here in the League's Cup over Puebla and Inter Miami. They basically took over Houston with the attention. They did a whole thing called Tigris Week. Very smart. They're very interested in drawing the English language speaking fan as well. We'll get to that in a second. But I want to just talk about the change in the, I believe it was the 80th minute, Juan Pablo Vignon comes on. Let's not forget that the cross came from Brunetta that forced a very bad clear from Inter Miami, comes to Vignon, and he buries the game winner. This was a pretty even game, if we're going to be fair here. We got to give Inter Miami and Tata Martino some real credit in this.
Yeah, they had better possession than we did, and they had, you know, good shots on goal. Nahuel had a lot to do with that as well. Corner kicks, they, you know, they had a lot more corner kicks than we did. So they were present attacking. They were able to move the ball around. And ultimately, you know, we pulled off the win. But Juan Pablo Rigón gets a lot of credit for that. He's a midfielder who came to Tigres in the last few years under the new direction that the team was looking to take. And a player who was a star and a captain at Pumas was able to come to Tigres and take a different role. But he's a player that, you know, you can count on for energy off the bench. You can count on hustle and effort no matter if where he's at on the pitch. And he also has that presence in the box that you can see where he scores that goal. He scored a good amount of goals for Tigres coming from that second line of attack and ultimately was able to pull off a goal for here in the 81st minute and get us going to a victory.
All right, Thursday night, Tigres and Pachuca. It's the round of 32. What's your sense? What is Q2 Stadium going to look like? Is it going to look like Energy Park looked like this past Saturday?
I'm not sure if it'll look like NRG Park, but I think it'll be a little bit better than the showing that we had at Shell Energy Stadium against Puebla. I think that, you know, with a few days going by and you know, a Thursday, it's a lot more favorable to go than a Wednesday night. And for the people that live here in the States, I think Libres and Locos are going to have a presence. There's a big presence out there in Austin and San Antonio area. So I think, you know, ultimately people are going to travel. So I expect people to show, maybe not as, like I said, a lot of atmosphere that we had at NRG, but ultimately I think they'll be there and it's going to be a good match. We tend to have and struggle against Pachuca.
Yeah, last time they met in June, it was a Pachuca 3-0 win, three goals in the second half in the Liga MX play. So Pachuca ended up second in their group after losing 2-1 to Toronto FC up in Toronto. So that's how it works. Tigres winning their group, Pachuca second, so two teams that'll know each other very, very well. Just back to Libres y Locos, the supporters group. It was so cool to see these giant banners, you know, Libres y Locos, San Antonio, and, you know, with the different sort of cities that represent the supporters group. I just love that. It just brings a real football authentic feel.
Yeah, and they also had like a pre-hangout before the match happened. They got together and they were able to get some buses. I think they got like four buses and you were able to get a seat on the bus and travel to the stadium and, you know, just provide that atmosphere there. I'm not sure if any people that, you know, are listening to the show might've came across them, but they were on the freeway with their flags hanging through the windows. There's videos on social media about it. So I think, you know, from the moment that the game was scheduled, they understood the assignment that, you know, with our presence, they had to show out. And, you know, it takes a lot of preparation with what they do and a lot of dedication and commitment. So ultimately they work hard and, you know, and as you see throughout the game, they never stop chanting. So a lot of credit to them to keep that atmosphere alive and, you know, ultimately get the fan base together.
Crazy social media presence that Tigres has. I mean, I put out a video and I know we talked about this before the show, you know, just of Libres y Locos. I panned the stadium. The thing's got over 100,000 views. I mean, it's incredible, their presence on social media, Tigres.
Yeah, the club has pushed that a lot recently with the, you know, obviously the inclusion of an English account of social media pages. But the Tigres fan has a great presence statistically in and out when social media stats gets put out by numerous sources on, you know, various platforms. Tigres is at the top of the list. The fan really loves that interaction on social media, whether it's sticking up for the team or talk wonders about the team. And, you know, the colors and the vibes and what the supporters give out, you know, at games like your video. And even, you know, you saw in at the game where everybody had their cell phone now with all their lights. It just gives you a lot to take on whenever you take on social media and you love to watch it.
Incredible how Libres y Locos orchestrates everything and how the entire stadium, not just the supporters group behind the goal, follows suit. Arnaldo, thank you so much for coming on tonight. We appreciate it as always. He's Arnaldo Lozano at LA_U_times for all the best when it comes to Tigres talk. Thank you, Arnaldo.
Thank you, Mr. Glenn. I appreciate the time that you took to have me on the show once again. And looking forward to more opportunities to come on and talk about Tigres.
All right. We'll see you in Austin. By the way, what a night it was out at Energy Stadium. And you know, the other thing is, Got to give the staff of Lone Star Sports and Entertainment, everybody at Energy Park, everybody who put the event on. It went smooth. People in a great mood. Great football. Just a wonderful, authentic soccer night. All right, we're going to take a break here. A couple of things here real quick. LamontBrands.com to get the T-shirts and hats. These hats and T-shirts, all the proceeds go to the 501c charity, the Snowdrop Foundation, for pediatric cancer. Also, head over to Cactus Music, my good friend Quinn over there. The best in vinyl, the best in CD. It's like walking into a museum, really, when it comes to music. There's so many interesting items over there, T-shirts. But if you love pre-owned vinyl, new vinyl, it is Cactus Music, one of the great spots. And then Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. My good friend Jan Christensen, you want modern contemporary furniture? I've got a number of his pieces in my house. It's DanishInspirations.com. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We got one segment to go.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, final segment of the night tonight here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Big shout out to John and his firm for getting soccer on the airwaves. He's done it here. He's done it in Austin. And we continue to be your consistent home for soccer talk right here on ESPN 97.5, aided by the presenting sponsorship of John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Shout out here to Little Patagonia Empanadas and Cafe. We've got a location in Houston right near the station on Westheimer. Get in there. They're open later now. They'll be playing games in there all the time. You've got those mouth-watering, savory empanadas that are just crazy, crazy good. My friend Sebastian, his company is also up in Austin at Q2 Stadium. In the stadium. So you can get the empanadas there Thursday night if you're going up there to see Tigres against Pachuca. You can also get the choripan sandwich in these locations as well. And then in Austin, they have another new location, Little Patagonia Empanadas and Cafe on Guadalupe, right near UT. Smart move, right? I would think that empanadas go over well with UT students once they get a hit of these. They are fantastic. All right. Last night, Chivas, this is a big one. 2-2 draw with the LA Galaxy. The Galaxy win 5-4 on penalty kicks. They knocked Chivas out. The former San Jose Earthquake, Cade Cowell, saved the day for Chivas. Tied things up in stoppage time. Well, you thought. And then they went on to lose on penalty kicks. Chivas eliminated from the League's Cup. And it's, believe it or not, the Galaxy and San Jose who go out of that group. Galaxy are going to take on Seattle. One of the top teams in MLS is the LA Galaxy. One of the hotter teams is Seattle. And San Jose will take on Necaxa. All right, let's get into Dynamo talk tonight against Real Salt Lake. The Dynamo, it's League's Cup. It's year two. 47 teams in this, three countries. And this goes on for a month, but the Dynamo are up against it tonight. So it essentially comes down to this. The Dynamo need to win this game by two goals or more. Win the group, or they have to win by one goal. This is complicated, but they can't win by one goal, 1-0 or 2-1 to finish second in the group and advance. So if the Dynamo win 2-1 on Monday, either Atlas or the Dynamo will advance determined by fair play, and that's yellow cards. So it's just some crazy, crazy stuff. Now, if the Dynamo win, they would host Toluca or Sporting Kansas City if they win the group. If they finish second, they would go to San Diego and play Club America. But it's kind of a crazy scenario here. So we'll just see how it plays out tonight here. I think one of the easy ways to talk about it is just say the Dynamo need to score goals and win. But their backs are against the wall after the loss to Atlas and then the fact that Real Salt Lake beat Atlas 2-1 in a comeback game. They got to score at least two goals. We know that. It's complicated. You could potentially have a three-way tie in this group, and the goal differential will be real here. Real Salt Lake, they come and get a win. They don't worry, or a draw. They're good, and there you go. But a lot of scenarios. Simply, the Dynamo need to win and score goals. And here's how they may do that tonight. Be interesting to see what Ben Olsen's going to put out. Coco Carrasquilla's got the quad problem. Does not look like he's going to be available. These are two managers, and Ben Olsen and Pablo Mastroeni, that have a lot of respect for each other. These guys were U.S. international teammates. They both went to World Cups. The Dynamo are currently sixth in the Western Conference. Real Salt Lake is third. Now, Real Salt Lake has scored 51 goals. Pretty incredible. Second leading goal-scoring club in all of MLS behind Inter Miami. 51 goals for, 34 goals against. That's 16 more goals than the Dynamo have scored. The Dynamo have scored 35 and conceded 30. They got a plus 17 goal differential. And Real Salt Lake has only lost three times on the road. So out of 14 games, in 10 of those games on the road, Real Salt Lake has taken points. So they're off to a pretty good season. The other thing here, you have to put a circle around. Chicho Arango comes back from suspension, available to start tonight. I would assume Mastroeni starts him. We'll see. But between Chicho Arango and Andreas Gomez, those two have 30 goals. 17 for Chicho, 13 for Arango. There won't be a Dynamo player. I'm not even sure a Dynamo player will hit 10 this year. So they have legit goal scorers. One of them comes from a wide area. Gomez made a huge, huge play, beating a pretty secure Atlas defense. We saw how well Atlas came in and defended against the Dynamo. But exploded past the guy down the right, whipped in a tremendous cross that Anderson Julio scored to make it 1-1. And then you got this wonder goal from Nelson Palacios, who scored from over 30 yards out, the Colombian, literally minutes after coming on in the game. So they come off a dramatic comeback victory over Atlas. So we'll see how it plays out tonight. This should be really interesting down at Shell Energy Stadium. You should get down there. I'm sure you can get tickets. Ben Olsen has said a number of things about this game, said they don't want to get wild when they come out and trying to, you know, score goals and get back into this thing. He made it very clear that you still have to be smart about the way you go about this. He did say that the system potentially could be altered with bringing Lawrence and Ali on the field at the same time as Aliyu at some point. That's going to be a big question, I think, going forward this year. Can you get Lawrence and Ali and Aliyu on the field at the same time? We have a small sample size of an Ali, but everybody's very excited about him. I think Ezequiel Ponce has gotten some criticism that's unfair right now. This is a system that does not favor and give a number nine a lot of chances. And if you're going to get the best out of Ezequiel Ponce, it's going to be interesting to see if the Dynamo alter things tactically, if Ben Olsen alters things tactically, if he plays with more of a winger as opposed to the tucked-in inverted winger role that Coco has. If Coco doesn't go tonight, you would expect either a Kovalchuk or a Latif Blessing. I mean, I think that's pretty obvious. I guess you could tuck in Lawrence and Ali. Ben Olsen mentioned that. I don't know if that would work. I think you would be maybe neutering some of his great open play and skills and dribbling skills if you put him in a very condensed area. Then again, maybe he's good in a condensed area and can break things down. But does the game model, the team shape, the system, the tactics change in the future? I don't think we'll see that from the start tonight. And can you get Hector Herrera getting around the box maybe a little bit more, making a few more special plays? I think that's going to be needed for the Dynamo. The Dynamo coming off 9 days here off. Escobar against Andreas Gomez out wide. That's one to really keep an eye on. That could be very tempestuous. That could be a fiery matchup out there. So be ready for that one, because those two guys will get at it. There's no question. Going to have to be clinical tonight. The Dynamo are going to have to score goals when they get their chances. And it's an all-time series. It's really, really close between these two teams. Of course, they played a bunch of times last year. I think they played like six times over all competitions. And the Dynamo, who got to the round of 16 last year in the League's Cup, are kind of on life support right now. They need a big game tonight here. But it's possible. It's entirely possible. And this group can be turned on its head. So no one's counting the Dynamo out. But they're going to have a pretty close to perfect night here against one of the better teams in all of Major League Soccer. And that's Real Salt Lake, who also can't take their foot off the pedal tonight. There is no question about that. So we'll see what happens tonight with the Houston Dynamo. Ezequiel Ponce, if he gets a start, looking forward to seeing him get more minutes here, get more looks at goal. I think that's something we're looking to see happen, and see if a little bit more space can be created for him and he doesn't have to play as much maybe with back to goal. The Dynamo got more transitional moments, more vertical play when Lawrence Anali came on. I think that was pretty obvious. He was pretty exciting to watch. A lot of their fans, Gornik Zabrze in Poland, have reached out to me in direct messages talking about, you know, take care of Lawrence. I mean, he was a real fan favorite there. There's no question about that. Fan favorite. We got Cincinnati, New York City FC tonight. We got Leon in Colorado. We got Toluca, Sporting Kansas City. And then we have New England and Nashville, which is one I will not be watching. So there you go. You got a full league schedule set up. The attendance around the leagues have been pretty interesting. You know, but Atlanta United had really, really poor attendance. You've seen some really good attendance in places like Portland. You've seen good attendance when Chivas played. Obviously this Tigres match has played this last weekend, that which we've already discussed, had some really, really good attendance as well. But Salt Lake, be careful. Got an all-star center back in Justin Glad. I'm wondering if Zach McMath comes back in goal here tonight. You got Diego Luna, who got snubbed from the Olympic team, who's probably got a real point to prove tonight here. Probably loves going up against Hector Herrera. Did score in the earlier game this year here, where Real Salt Lake and the Dynamo 3-2 game that Real Salt Lake won. So a lot of really interesting players. Andreas Gomez, you got Anderson Julio, a big center forward who can throw himself at stuff, who's going to be battling away with Mikhail and Eric Sviatchenko. So a lot of really interesting sort of side plots to this, not only in the context of Leagues Cup, but also in the context of the overall Dynamo season. Because remember, if you get out of Leagues Cup, it's a quick run to the end of the year. I don't know how many the Dynamo have. It's 9 to 11 left. I think it's 10 or 11 for the Dynamo, but it's stretch run. It's where things are going to maybe change. You're going to want them to change with Ezequiel Ponce and Lawrence Anali brought to this team. And the system could change. The coaching could change. Ben Olsen might elect to become a little bit more of a risk-taking team at times if he played with two wingers. That's a big, big change from a narrow system. So I don't know if that happens unless the Dynamo get pushed to the brink on that. So it'll be interesting. You got a center forward that's used to scoring goals at AEK Athens in Greece, one every two games. He's not going to be happy if he doesn't score goals tonight, Ezequiel Ponce. I mean, that man wants to hit the back of the net. So we'll see. All right, that's going to do it for Soccer Matters here tonight on ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. I'm off to get down to Shell Energy Stadium tonight. Looking forward to the Dynamo Real Salt Lake. We'll have the call on the stream, HoustonDynamo.com/radio. That's where you can catch that if you so are inclined. We thank John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsor. Hit me up on Twitter and Instagram, @GlennDavisSoc, @SoccerMattersGD. Also, a reminder, LamontBrands.com for the Dynamo, Soccer Matters and ESPN 97.5. T-shirts and hats, all the proceeds to the 501c charity. We got new orange in there with black lettering. Looks awesome. That would be great for Dynamo fans, Netherlands fans, Sam Houston State, you name it. Anybody who likes the color orange with Soccer Matters on the front, grab it. And we've also got red that, well, you might be U of H, you might be Liverpool, you might be Manchester United. There's an awful lot of teams that wear red and orange. So the new ones are in. They're in stock. If you're Guillermo Lazo Romero, I'm Glenn Davis. A reminder, we will be back this week with another version of Soccer Matters. Thanks for tuning in here tonight. Get the podcast at Spotify, Apple, Google, ESPN975.com. And remember, Soccer Matters. Let's go Houston Dynamo tonight against Real Salt Lake.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.